Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Tiffany and I give our all to this podcast with curating information, researching platforms, and creating a show with the best up-to-date information we can. We have a vested interest in the growth and health of your business and hope you feel the same way about us. We've joined Patreon. Become a patron for as little as $5 a month, and you'll gain access to our community, exclusive behind the scenes, speaker access, publicity for your business, webinar discount opportunities, and more. Please support us so that we can continue supporting you. Hello, and welcome to the Business Behind Small Business. Whether you're selling or staying, we're here to remind you that just because you own a business doesn't mean you are a business owner. We are your hosts, Savannah Stone and
Tiffany Keo,
and we're going to get down into the nitty-gritty to walk you through the more finite details of entrepreneurship, revealing the dots between startup and success. No one gets to a million without getting a little dirty. There's a lot of business behind small business, so let's get to it.
Is it only a little dirty?
It's very dirty. All right. Hello, everyone. Again, for the third time. Welcome to today's, just in case you weren't awake. Hello, hello. Welcome to today's episode of the Business Behind Small Business, where today's episode is brought to you by a robot. Okay, so I'm exaggerating a little here. Today's episode is brought to you by the ever so popular buzzword, AI. Artificial intelligence. Have no fear, though. Well, maybe be a little afraid. But what we have to give you is 100% real.
Don't worry. We're not talking about AI taking over the world.
No.
Or taking over your jobs, maybe. No. Should make your job easier.
Yeah, well. So we're not going to go into, you know, that total destruction of humanity here. What we are going to do is, though, dive into how AI can help streamline your growing business and which tools and platforms we think are the ones you should try. But before we begin, please note our disclaimer. This is available in both our show notes and on our website and should be referred to before or after and or after this podcast. So what you got for us?
Wouldn't it be great if AI just did the entire podcast episode for us?
I want AI to clean my house and do my
Okay, if AI can do your laundry, I think we'll be pretty set. I'll be pretty happy. That's a job it can take over, 100%.
I mean, why can't we automate that? So
there ain't no feelings in that, is there?
Really? There is no feelings in that, but there's feelings in all these other things that, you know, there's a lot of humanity and a lot of nuance that artificial intelligence is trying to take on. And it's very interesting to see how they're going to do this.
Yes, I think there's a lot of speculative opinions of what can actually be done. But today we're going to keep it closer to reality, is what you can do with it today, especially as a small business owner, because I don't know about you, I was actually pretty excited hearing a lot about these AI tools when we were doing the research, because there's a lot of things I do that I don't always want to do. And sometimes it's worth more trouble than it is to actually delegate it. So if I can get a nice AI-ish, robot-ish thing to do it without complaint, that's happening.
And I will also say, which I don't know if you were going to mention this or not, but these are things that we've tried out. We've messed around with these, and they're so cool. They're so cool.
We're a little geeked out by it, not.
Yeah, and let me also say that I am not a computer whiz on any level. I am your average person who takes a minute to write out a text because I have to think about, you know, like I'm no scientist. I'm not a tech person. I didn't even play video games as a kid. Granted, video games were invented when I was a kid, but I digress. What I'm saying is that I think these are very layman friendly. They're very user friendly.
Yeah.
All of the ones that we're going to mention. So don't be afraid to use any of the ones that we're going to mention.
Well, I'm a little bit of the opposite of you. I am very begrudgingly been pulled into a lot of tech stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So like, somehow I'm always the person who is like merging accounting systems together,
yeah,
or doing large data dumps, or, you know, writing large Excel forms. I don't know why. I don't gravitate towards it. I just tell me, I was like, I Google everything. I don't know how to do half of this stuff.
Yeah.
But I Google it. I figure out. But I find myself in situation time after time. And I did grow up playing
Video games?
Video games. Hmm. On a computer, no less. Oh, okay. Anyways.
Yeah, I had a Commodore 64. I'm like way before Atari. I had a Commodore 64 that my favorite game on that was this tennis game that I didn't know at the time was called Pong.
Pong was very exciting in the beginning. And it was incredibly exciting.
And what was it called? Battlestar Galactica or something like that?
Yeah, I didn't know. Very addictive.
It was. Yes. I loved playing it. And then I was like, this is boring. And yeah, I'm the kid that couldn't get past level one on Mario, so I gave up. So that's how computer illiterate I am. Gosh. But that's why this is so exciting to me.
I would know if I made it if I have enough time and energy to actually sit down and enjoy a good video game again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would know I've made it.
Video games are beyond my head now.
Oh, no. Well, true. Okay, that's true. Because, yeah, it's much more complex than it used to be. What happened to the AB button and just the directional pad?
There's been a couple of times when one of my kids has tried to pull me into a video game, and I'm like, are you doing this on purpose? Are you making fun of me? I don't know what I'm doing. Why does this thing look more human?
Very envious. I miss the days where you spend hours just like absorbed in a game. Anyways, yeah, well, we digress.
I played in cornfields instead. I could figure that out.
Okay, so today, I have like 5 AI tools that I thought was going to be, I feel like, and I do use them, going to be really useful. Although one of them I only discovered fairly recently because of researching for this episode, which is now I'm just going to use all the time because I'm like, wait, what does it do? That's amazing. So here I am. So Excel Formula Bot.
Oh my God, yes. I didn't mention that one. That's interesting.
Why is this not more popular? Because, you know, instead of sorry to all the YouTube, TikTokers, influencers, whatever out there who makes all these shorts about Excel formulas and stuff like that, Excel Formula Bot actually helps you write Excel formulas. So you basically in text form tell it what you want and it'll derive the formula for you that you can copy and paste into the formula bar.
Yep.
Right? So there are so many times where I've definitely like done stuff and I'm like, I know there's a formula out there for this. I know there is. It's probably a combination of formulas probably. I was like, I know this is so repetitive that there's got to be something out there for it. And then you actually be smart enough to know how to search for the right thing. And sometimes you just don't land on it. And then after you do land on it, you're watching a video and you're like, huh? I don't know how you just got from A to Z. That just doesn't make any sense to me, right? This, you just type in and say exactly what you want in words and it'll spit back the formula to you. Plus, it also does reverse. So if you're in a large Excel spreadsheet and somebody wrote a super seriously complicated formula, you can actually copy that formula into the text box and then it'll explain back to you in human words what that formula actually does.
So freaking cool.
So you don't have to go figure it out yourself and figure out which bracket and parentheses did I just miss.
It's so cool.
I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And the great thing is there's actually a free plan. So, of course, there's a limit to the number of formulas you can do and look up in the free plan. But there's also a paid plan, which starts at $6.99 a month. Not too bad.
I don't feel like that's
terrible. No.
Especially if a lot of your work is done in Excel.
Yeah.
Which I know there are some people that have to do a lot of Excel stuff, related stuff. So
here I am thinking about all the possibilities of now what I can do to build like financial dashboards and stuff like that in Excel. I'm like totally geeking out. Yeah, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next few weeks, right? I'm like, nothing can stop me. Okay, the second thing I want to talk about is one that you like also, which is Scribe AI.
Yes.
Right? So actually, you introduced me to Scribe AI. Mm-hmm. And then after you did that, I was like, well, I'm going to go Google and YouTube this and see what it's all about. And I'm like, okay, this is actually really, really
cool. Yeah.
So at first I was a little bit disappointed because I thought it's like a Chrome extension. So I thought you can only use it in Chrome, but apparently if you use the paid plan, you can actually do it on your desktop.
Yes.
Which is really helpful. And Scribe AI, which is the reason why we both love this, is that it's basically like an AI software that will follow you while you're doing a task. And it'll actually document the entire process for you with screenshots and with text. So, I mean, come on, that's a really, really cool, right?
It's, oh, so freaking cool.
Yeah, because we're all about processes. And when you get down to it, sometimes the most, not sometimes, the most tedious part of a process documentation is the step-by-step instructions, right? And just think about an AI being able to follow your cursor around, knowing what you're pointing at, what you're clicking at, and just automatically shooting out and creating that documentation for you with screenshots.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
It's such a game changer.
I even challenged it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and make this so confusing. It's never going to figure out what I'm doing. I fell into...
You're trying to dupe the AI.
I literally tried, because honestly, I wanted to see how complex can this thing get?
Very nice.
Because part of me was like, I wonder if I can dupe it. But the other part of me wanted to know, like, how complex can this get? Mm-hmm. Will it actually be a time saver?
It's a time saver, right?
It was incredibly precise.
Yeah.
Exactly what I was trying to articulate. And it was just there. And I could send it off. And I was like, here you go. Here's how to do this.
And it's super, it lays it out really easily, mm-hmm. right? It's literally a step-by-step. Mm-hmm. And if for some reason, like, it doesn't catch a step correctly, or it adds an extra step, or it misses a step, like, it's
easy to
insert it and mm-hmm. delete it, and then just re-record that one particular step, and mm-hmm. it'll put it in there for you. It's definitely simplified the entire process. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love it, because, I mean, part of what I do is I help, like, clients, like, document the process, mm-hmm. right? But, I mean, the whole point of helping document the process isn't the fact that I can sit there and kind of write step-by-step instructions for them, because, come on, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Who wants to spend time? Who wants to pay for time doing for sure. that? Right? But with this, you know, it's so easy because I can just ask the client and say, hey, turn this on, do what you need to do. It's going to spit out the instructions, edit it quickly, and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can sit there and talk about the gap in your processes and, you know, how streamlined it is, effective, all the big stuff that actually matters.
Yep.
Love it. Scribe AI. Mm-hmm. So I think there is a browser version that's free, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. But of course, you're limited to what's in your browser, which could cover 99% of what you do if that's how you roll.
Yeah.
There is a pro version, which is $23 per seat per month. Or if you have a minimum of 5 team members, then it becomes $12 per seat per month. Mm-hmm. So not terrible. Mm-hmm. And I can see how this could be really useful, especially if you have a big team. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's really beneficial. If we said it over and over again, it's beneficial for all your team members to also write down the process in case they, you know, win the lottery and run off to an island somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it is. Especially, it is really good for teams that have individual processes. So if you have a large team of people who do things independently mm-hmm. that don't follow a main process, all you have to do is say, hey, I would like for you to scribe your process for this client, whatever it is. And they don't have to do anything other than do what they normally do.
Yeah.
And then scribe will just do the rest of it.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's genius. Mm-hmm. It really is. Okay, so the third one I got, which I think this is more of the marketing side of me that kind of geeked out about this a little bit, is called Magic Eraser.
Mm, yeah.
Did you see this? Eraser, so easy.
I know.
So, like, and again, this is for, like, people like myself, I feel like, who aren't professional marketing people, professional, like, anything, to be quite honest, in that realm of stuff where I rely on software to do it. Like, I use, like, Adobe Pro to do, like, the background removers, or Canva to do the background removers, because sometimes it's really helpful, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about, like, what is the pro software people use all the time? Adobe something, you know, like
Photoshop,
right? Like, I can't figure that thing out, right? But this is very similar to, like, the background remover, where Magic Eraser, if you upload a picture, you can actually remove objects, like select objects from within your picture. And it works, because I was kind of testing it out and putting in some really complicated pictures to see if it works or if it doesn't work. It works like 90% of the time. Like, it doesn't work that well if you're trying to remove something that has a very complicated image below mm-hmm. it, beneath it. But if you remove something and it's like beneath that image is a wall, it does pretty well. Like, I'll just remove it and it looks like it's a wall there. Like, mm-hmm. it has never been there, which mm-hmm. I thought was so cool.
Yes. Magic Eraser is so cool. Yeah,
it's really, really neat. And it's completely free. So it's, you know, very much like you go on a browser and you just upload the picture, and then you can use the tool and they switch you back out, though. Mm-hmm. The image again.
Mm-hmm.
So yay. I'm still going to be using that.
I know. All the time.
Taking labels off pictures. Because sometimes, like, you sit there and you have something that's, like, labeled, mm-hmm. you know, like a Nike or some kind of label. Yeah. You're sure you want to take that off. This stuff will do it for you.
Yep. So,
very cool. All right. The other one is Glasp AI.
Yes.
Have you heard this one? Glasp AI?
I have Glasp.
Of course.
Yes.
Yo, do you use it? Okay. Well, I'm going to start using this a lot more now. So it's a Chrome extension kind of app and allows you to highlight and leave notes on the web. So it kind of saves it all in kind of like a clipboard almost uh-huh. version, but it's all organized. And then you can also like highlight image, like you can also like save certain like, I don't know, phrases that you want. And then you can share with other people and it'll create kind of what looks like a quoted like image for you, which I mean, to me, it just screamed like content creation, right? Like I can easily.
It's great for research.
Right.
It's great for content creation.
Yes.
It's great for educational purposes.
Yeah.
If you're doing workshops or things like that, if you have to do a lot of teaching things, if you're in the teaching realm as well, mm-hmm. I think it's phenomenal.
Yes. And I can, and for me again, like I was just thinking content.
Oh yeah,
content,
definitely
right?
Content.
Which nowadays, well. Like a lot of content is value, like, you know, providing education and providing information. And mm-hmm. I sometimes read like really great articles and I'm like, oh, I want to share that. But then like, sometimes you don't want to share the actual article. Like it's difficult. And plus like, if you have multiple things you've seen and you want to like, line them up for content creation. Sometimes it's hard to remember which web address you were at and what were you reading that got you so excited. So this will allow you to highlight it, save it, mm-hmm. and then you can always go back to it, which is really neat.
Yeah.
Glad to know that you use it all the time.
Yes.
All right. Last but not least, I have Compose AI. Mm-hmm. So this is the writing. It's also a Chrome extension, but it is kind of, it's a writing tool that helps you just basically write better, right? It's an AI-powered autocomplete. It's also a text generation. It just helps you with your email, with anything that you're writing, and it fits right into your browser. So it's right there with you versus, I feel like, versus having like a ChatGPT tab open and having to go into ChatGPT and be like, rewrite this.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, having to prompt it so much, this is already available there in whatever you're
It's great
writing.
For proposals or if you have to write very formal letters. Mm-hmm. If you have, for example, if you have a board that you have to present to mm-hmm. and you may not know how to articulate what you want to say appropriately, you can use Compose AI to say it in your normal words, in your regular speak words, and then it kind of spits it out in a more formal or professional way.
Yeah. And I think like the thing is like you can do it yourself, right? Well, not about the younger generation. No,
yeah.
But in our generation where we still had to learn cursive in school, like we know how to professionally write, but mm-hmm. sometimes it takes like, you know, 30, 40 minutes to craft something just in the right tone and the right speak and the right words.
Mm-hmm.
And with something like this, it really kind of cuts the time down in half because we know what we're looking for, but it's just taking us time to get there. And so once it spits it back out, we're like, mm-hmm. oh, that's exactly what we're going after. And mm-hmm. then we can move on. So it just really saves a lot of time. Now, maybe a little worried for the younger generation who just relies on this to create it. But hey, you know, I'm sure they have other things going for them.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
All right. So that's my top five.
All right. So you may or may not notice what I say from this point forward sounds a little like, or maybe a lot like me. The reason I say that is because I had ChatGPT write this out for me. What better way to show everyone how well it works than to just use it and whatever. Although I do agree, it's a hell of a platform. It's not perfect because it doesn't know my voice. I don't expect it to. And scientists and tech gods, please don't take this to heart. Okay. Because intercommunication and logic and intelligent conditional logic, which is connected to emotional responses, can't be replicated by technology. I really don't believe that it can, and at least not in our lifetime.
Well, they take it as a challenge right now. They're trying to
for sure.
Out. This is what I mean by the speculative like opinions about how far these things can go.
I think,
agree with you. I think it's really hard to mimic that.
It's hard to mimic, but it's also likely going to be regulated, so that
so we hope.
So we hope. Right.
So we hope.
So it'll likely be highly regulated so that it doesn't become something that, you know, the regular
weaponized
person. Yeah, weaponized, exactly.
Yeah.
But humans still need to drive this car. And to be honest, before I get into any of this, what Tiffany is saying, what I'm saying, these are tools that can help you. I do believe that no matter how far technology gets and how far AI gets, we'll still need humans to do the jobs. In saying that, AI tools can help to make the pathway easier, especially when there are so many AI tools and platforms that can support small businesses during a period of growth. Before we jump into specific AI tools and platforms, let's talk about the overall benefits of AI for small businesses. AI can enhance productivity, automate repetitive tasks, provide valuable insights, improve decision-making, and streamline operations to free up time for business owners and employees to focus on core activities. So without further ado, from this point on, let's explore some industry-specific AI tools and platforms. Thank you, ChatGPT.
Now that ChatGPT also instructs you on your hand gestures.
While yes, it did. Okay, it says... It told me use my hands. Because I can't talk without my hands. You ever want me to stay quiet, just put my hands in handcuffs. And in the retail industry, an excellent AI tool is dynamic pricing software. Mm-hmm. This tool utilizes AI algorithms to optimize pricing strategies based on various factors such as demand, competition, and market trends. By dynamically adjusting prices, businesses can maximize revenue and profitability while remaining competitive in the market. Let's say you're in the healthcare sector. There's an impressive AI platform. It's called AI-powered medical imaging. This tool uses deep learning algorithms to analyze medical images such as x-rays, MRIs, and CT scans. It helps medical professionals detect diseases, make accurate diagnoses, and create personalized treatment plans. AI-powered medical imaging can significantly enhance the efficiency and accuracy of diagnostics. It benefits both healthcare providers and patients. So now let's talk about the hospitality industry. Chatbot assistance, which I'm sure everybody has seen those chatbots when you go on a website, mm-hmm. and you know, it's invaluable. These chatbots use natural language processing and machine learning to provide instant responses to customer inquiries, automate reservations, and offer personalized recommendations. A lot of times when you make a phone call, like there's been so many times when I've, you know, made a phone call to whatever company, mm-hmm. and it's a human voice, but it's not a human really, right? Mm. And they'll solve it for you. You don't always have to use a chatbot in your company, but yeah. They do help with those repetitive questions that maybe your company gets. Hotels and restaurants can usually provide great customer service around the clock, and it's going to increase satisfaction and loyalty. So there's nothing I hate more than calling a restaurant. And even if you're a small business, maybe you have one restaurant, two, three restaurants. But when you call and no one answers the phone and you're like,
hello.
Yes. So use a chatbot. They're great.
Especially for those easy questions. Like, yeah. Oh, what time do you close? You know, how long's reservations? Is there anything available at this time? Like yes. All that stuff.
Yes. So now we're going to shift our focus into the financial sector. One prominent AI platform is robo-advisors. These digital investment platforms utilize AI algorithms to provide personalized financial advice, portfolio management, and automated trading. Robo-advisors offer cost-effective and accessible investment solutions for small businesses and individuals, enabling them to make informed investment decisions and grow their wealth. I will say mm-hmm. that although you could utilize robo-advisors, I still feel like you need
a human advisor.
Yeah. Take that robo-advisor advice and discuss it with your human advisor. Because sometimes, I mean, I feel like in every industry it's like this. Sometimes you might come out with something that they haven't yet learned about, right? Like there have been a couple of times when somebody says something to me that I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that, because I try to be on top of everything, but I can't really be on top of everything.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. Right. So the tool's only as good as the person prompting it. So that's also one of the pitfalls of that kind of like support, which is why a human advisor is so great, because, you know, humans can read other people's facial expressions, ask the right question, and help connect the dots.
Right.
Which, let's just be honest,
robo-advisor.
Sorry. Or AI-powered kind of advisor. Like, they can't connect the dots if you don't even know there's another dot to provide them.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, but I do think that it could be invaluable in that you...
It's a good place to start.
It's a good place to start. Yeah. I think it could be valuable in sparking a conversation with your financial advisor. Or if you are a financial advisor or you do any kind of financial planning, wealth management, maybe you could utilize RoboAdvisor to help you solve a complex issue for a client. Mm. I think it could be something that you could utilize. Anyway, in the manufacturing industry, predictive maintenance is powered by AI, and it is a game changer. By analyzing sensor data, machine learning algorithms can predict equipment failure and maintenance needs before they occur. This proactive approach to maintenance helps businesses avoid costly downtime, optimize maintenance schedules, and extend the lifespan of machinery. This is huge. If you own a manufacturing company where you have to do any kind of shipment, or if you're a distribution, you own distribution centers, it could be huge because you might end up becoming the clog in the shipping. And we've already had enough shipping issues over the last few years. You don't want to be a part of the problem. So now that we know how ChatGPT feels about AI, did you know ChatGPT wrote all of that?
Now, our next step is to tell you that Savannah's voice has been created by ChatGPT. No, just kidding.
Yeah, right.
No. Okay. This whole image of her right now, it's all AI generated. How's that?
If that was gonna, I would have made me a lot thinner then. I'd have been like, let's remake me.
If I get to choose.
I'm
like,
a Barbie girl. I would be choosing. I would be just like, yes, no. Anyway, now it's me. So now me, I'm going to be talking about platforms that I have found and used. And I really don't know how I lived without before now. I love Scribe. I love, love, love Scribe. It auto generates. It's step by step. All you do is press record. We've already talked about this. I can't talk about it enough. I love it. It's really creates a guide and it's on autopilot. Utilize Scribe as best you can. I also recommend Agent GPT. It does have a little bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, I was not smart enough to figure this out in like less than 10 minutes time. So yeah. And moving on.
Yeah. So, but I think the reason why is because it is a little bit more complex. It does do more high level strategy creation. So I think if you can take some time to figure out what language to use with it, it can be a great tool. What it does is that you give it the task and it plans strategies, browses the web, it executes the mission. So all you got to do is sit back, drink a Mai Tai, and let it do the rest. So anyway, if you have to do a presentation, which I did create a few, and I was like, this is amazing. Gamma AI, type in a prompt. And you can make it as complex as you want. Like yesterday, I typed in a prompt for create a presentation based on a proposal to a company in which we will be providing admin support. Identify the admin that this industry would need, the amount of time it would take for each individual task, and then create a social media marketing campaign and what that would do. Like I asked it to do three different things. Freaking beautiful. Beautiful. I've read over it again last night. Just to see, like, you know, is there anything that I could change in this? Is there anything here that it left out? Left out nothing. It took my brain and bloop, and it's beautiful. You can create presentations, slide decks, website, and then you can customize it, of course, because like I could edit it. It does let you choose like different backgrounds, and you can change the colors and maybe take out certain images or whatever you want to do. But regardless, imagine how long it normally takes to create a slide deck or a presentation of any kind. Cuts it out. Lastly, I think rose.com is also a super cool Excel tool.
Tell me more.
You can import data from anywhere.
Okay.
Like literally anywhere. And then you ask it to do anything like a trend analysis, create a graph or whatever. And then you can share it to collaborate with your team or you can embed it anywhere you might need to embed it. Oh, and I almost forgot, you must look into inboxpro.io. This is pretty awesome. So it's a handy tool that uses AI for client acquisition. So it's basically a sales funnel. I think that's probably, it's not really a sales funnel. That's probably the most rudimentary word I could think of for it.
Okay.
But what it does is it nurtures your prospects in an automated sequenced guide that guides them into making an appointment. So all you have to do is close the deal.
Interesting.
It's basically an AI powered carrot on a stick, leading them through the labyrinth to you.
So essentially somebody emails you and then this will pick up on the email and then actually have a conversation, I suppose.
It will also cultivate leads for you, identify leads for you, nurture those leads for you, and then lead them to you.
Interesting. Okay. How much training does it need?
I don't know.
Oh, have you used it?
I did use
it.
Okay, and? But I'd used it with some, I mean, I didn't want to use it. It takes a little bit of time. I didn't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
So I used it on somebody I already knew.
Okay.
But it did lead them to me.
Yeah.
Which was like, holy freaking moly. Could you imagine if I had like, I don't know, 3 weeks? That's probably more of the amount of time you would need. 3 weeks, 6 months, you know.
So a little bit light training.
It is. Like, yeah, it is, but
And I think that's what it is. It's a lot of these AI tools, like it does require training. And I think that a lot of times the marketing of these tools kind of skip over that because they, I mean, everybody has a different nurturing, like a sales funnel or just a different sales funnel. So that's why I was curious. I was like, well, how much do you need to teach it so that it knows what your way is?
Yeah. So yeah, Inbox Pro does take a little bit more finessing, just like Agent GPT takes a little bit of finessing. But I think that's okay. Considering the amount of time that it takes to do any of these things without the AI, I'm okay with learning it, figuring it out.
Or how expensive it is to hire somebody to do it in your stead.
Oh my goodness. Yes. So now we usually get into a point counterpoint and then straight into our own trials and tribulations. But AI is so new. We've not really fully yet experienced it. So today's show is going to be a little different. We're going to skip our usual segments to make room for all of the awesome.
All of the awesome. All right.
So, well, so unless you have a point counterpoint that you feel is necessary to discuss, I kind of felt like, what can we even, I have no real time experience, if you will.
I don't really have a counterpoint. I mean, not the one that hasn't been like discussed to death already, probably.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like so many people talk about AI so much, which is why in this episode we decided like we don't want to talk about the stuff that everybody's talking about. Let's talk about some practical tools that we can actually use, because I think that's the only other thing about this whole like spurt of like AI like tools and applications is there's so many.
Yeah.
Like there is so many. And like I said, because of the marketing and everything, sometimes these tools marketed like this is like your one-stop answer and they'll all do it for you, but it's not always do it for you. So a lot of these AIs, especially the more smarter complex like tools, require time for you to train it. And just know that. Not like there's anything, it's still better than the alternative, but there's a little bit of work that goes behind it.
And I feel like just like in any technology or wave of technology or whatever new thing it is, everybody jumps on that on that train, and a lot of it is going to fall off the map.
Yeah.
Only a few will emerge.
20% is probably going to stick around.
Yeah. These are the ones that we feel are likely to help your business grow, especially if you are already in growth stage and now you're like, what do I do? I don't know. I feel like you're going to find the ones that work best for you. But these are great places, I feel like, to start.
I agree with that. I mean, that's not much of a point counterpoint.
But... Nah. That's a point.
I guess the only truth I would have is the fact that I will continue to try to look for AI tools to kind of help what I do. But I mean, I'm also not going to rely on a tool to do it all for me.
No.
Like it's always like looking for things to assist, anything that's repetitive and that is robotic enough that I know that an AI assist will make it so much better, right?
Yeah. So in my company, what I've done is I've identified the things in my company that are time sucks.
Time sucks. There you go. That's how you identify if it's a time suck.
I'm identifying time sucks. Anything that has been a time suck, and I've already had a few meetings with my internal team about it. Like, hey guys, these are the things that we're wasting way too much time on. Here are the AI platforms that I have found or tools that I have found that I think will benefit us. What do you guys think? And if they feel like they could use them, then that's what we're going to do. Because I'm getting tired of all of the, bless you.
Excuse me.
I'm getting tired of all of the things that we're doing that are spinning wheels. I don't like spinning wheels. And it's all about productivity, right? So if you have an internal team that you meet with on a regular basis, which if you're a large company, you should, then maybe that's the kind of conversation you should be having is, hey, what are the time sucks? Where can we start, you know, trimming the fat and start being a little more productive?
Yeah. And on my end, being a one person consulting shop now, right? For me, it's all about just efficiency because I have to do it all. And if I'm also just not in like have any whims right now to want to hire anybody on the team, I'd like doing it all. But at the same time, there's a lot of tedious little things, especially when it comes to marketing and content creation, that sometimes my brain just can't come up with anything. And I use AI to help prompt that. Like I won't lie, a lot of my content creation sometimes gets started with AI as an idea, or I have AI kind of rewrite it because I'm like writing it 10 times over and I'm like, oh, it just doesn't feel right. Or like, you know, I have it write the base and then I fill in like the meat of it. Because, you know, then I can do it in my unique style and what I'm thinking of, which sometimes AI can't do it for you because they don't know what's in my head.
Right.
They don't have my experience, right? They don't have this, like, you know, certain anecdotes that it's just not going to happen. So I think it's a very good thing for small business owners to rely on to help with the growth of their business.
So in each episode, we like to connect a famous example to our discussion to help you relate our talking points on a more global or well-recognized scale, revealing the dots between a living room startup and the success story on the cover of Forbes. Sometimes we use exact examples of either famous persons or successful business owners of today or in history, and sometimes we use examples of people who inspired us and have inspired today's discussion.
So today I was thinking about famous AI failures.
Cool.
Come on. Like, it's always nice to know that there's a little fault in there somewhere. These are sometimes like early failures of AI, which is part of what was needed to get us to where we are today. So I thought that was kind of cool. I was just, you know, I figured Savannah was going to come up with something historical.
Of course I will.
So of course I'm going to pick something that's a little bit more like, you know, recent, because we're going to leave the history to the expert here. So famous example. So Tesla's autopilot, I'm going to call it failures, but definitely hiccups, incidences. So, I mean, we all know Tesla and how they have the self-driving autopilot kind of feature today. But before it was what it is today, there were several failures in detecting and responding appropriately to road conditions, right? There's been instances where Tesla vehicles collided with stationary objects, failing to recognize obstacles and misinterpreting road markings. Whoops.
Yeah.
So, of course, these instances raise concerns about the limitations of, you know, self-driving technology. And because of this, I mean, even Elon Musk himself said it. He's like, until he hits 100%, he's not happy. And so I think part of this is just, you know, the failures before we get to the success, which is, you know, it's nice to know that somebody's striving for the 100%. The other one is IBM's Watson misdiagnosis.
Oh, yes.
Who remember IBM Watson, Jeopardy, right? That was the one on Jeopardy, right?
Yep.
Okay, so basically they put IBM Watson to the test in healthcare with the goal of assisting doctors in diagnosing and treating diseases. However, in the case at MD Anderson's Cancer Center in Texas in 2017, Watson actually provided incorrect treatment suggestions for cancer patients. The recommendations was based on incomplete and inaccurate information, emphasizing the complexities of medical data interpretation and the importance of human expertise in critical healthcare decisions. What were we saying earlier? You still need the humans.
We still need the humans.
All right. Last but not least, Google's deep dream nightmares. I don't know why they call it that. Google's Deep Dream project uses AI to generate surreal and artistic images by modifying existing pictures. Now, while the project was aimed to create visually appealing results, it occasionally produced disturbing and nightmarish images. Oh my God. fish. The AI will interpret patterns in the original pictures as grotesque features or bizarre creatures, highlighting the limitations of AI-generated art and the challenges of maintaining control over the creative processes. And that is true. Even in a lot of, I believe, AI softwares related, like AI, like created images, it's the same thing. Like your prompt can sometimes go seriously awry because you just didn't know to give it enough specificity for it to not create something that is like wholly evil and nightmarish. All right, let's take a dive into history. What do you have for us?
Oh, you know, I can't skip out on who's inspired my part of the discussion. Mm-hmm. It's the father of AI, the father of modern computers, and the man who gave us the spark that influenced all technology. Not Tesla. It's Alan Turing. Alan Turing was an incredible and very odd mathematician. In 1936, he published a paper called On Computable Numbers, which the Washington Post at the time called the founding document of the computer age. He hypothesized that one day we would build machines that compute any problems humans could use, using zeros and ones. Sound binary to you? Sounds binary to me. The Turing machine would be a universal computer able to solve any problem using stored instructional code. Turing's ideas laid the foundation for what would become the digital computer. There is so much to say about him. I can't do it all in one show. So instead, I'm going to share some fun facts. Turing was an eccentric, as it were, So for example, he wore a gas mask while riding his bike to combat his allergies.
I mean, well, maybe the man had very severe allergies, right?
I guess.
So, you know, hey.
He also chained his tea mug to a radiator to prevent it from being stolen. I mean, that's one way to do it. Tea is very important in England. In 1952, Turing was arrested after reporting a burglary in his home. In the course of the investigation, the police discovered Turing's relationship with another man, Arnold Murray. Homosexual relationships were illegal in the UK at the time, and he was charged with gross indecency. Yeah. He pled guilty on the advice of his lawyer and opted to undergo chemical castration instead of serving jail time. Isn't that horrible? He actually ended up dying at the age of 41 from what they said was cyanide poisoning. Some people believe that he committed suicide. Others believe that it was part of a treatment plan that he was on to help make him less gay.
Yeah, this was back in the day.
Yeah. There's actually a law, the Turing law, because of what he experienced in the UK now. Anyway, so the Turing test, it is still used to this day to measure artificial intelligence, although some people consider it to be outdated. But the fact that it's almost 100 years later and it's still the industry norm is fascinating. Lastly, this one was my favorite. For anyone who's listening to this that may worry that they're not rock stars in life or in business, Turing was considered to be an average student.
Really?
Yes. He was average. Okay. He was average in life, and he was an average student. He was average in pretty much everything. It wasn't until he threw caution to the wind and shared his vast knowledge with us all, and after he died, that people really, really encircled or encompassed his
genius. Yeah.
I do truly believe, though, that if he had not died, he would have been recognized for his genius.
Probably, yeah.
But unfortunately, he died at a very young age. And, you know, a lot of today's a lot of the things that are on the spectrum, I think he was also on the spectrum to some degree, were not recognized at that time. You were just seen as not being a good student or not listening or
can't sit still.
You know, whatever it is. So anyway.
Did you like the movie?
I didn't
watch Imitation Games? Okay.
Nope. I did not watch it.
Did not watch it. Okay. I was just curious. Curious to know your opinion.
Nope. Have not watched it. I'll get there eventually. There's a saying that goes, put your money where your mouth is. And we're drilling down a bit further here to connect what we've discussed at a granular level to tangible sources you can take to get you to that next level. Have you any recommendations?
My only recommendation is give it a try, but don't get stuck by trying too many things.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, I think that's what happens with a wave of new technology and software is there's too many options. And before you know it, you kind of lose sight of the goal of why you were looking for the software to begin with, and you never start on it.
Yeah. Right?
I was actually recently just thinking about this because there's so many times where I've come across like, business owners who wants to document their processes, right? Mm-hmm. And they want to start on it. And then they get analysis paralysis because the fact they're looking at so many different softwares to get them to do it instead of the one thing they had to do, which is just start, right? You don't need anything fancy. You need a Word doc. You need a Google doc. You just start getting stuff on paper and that's where you start. But so many people get caught up in trying to find the software that does it all when they don't even, when you don't even truly understand the concept that needs to even define what software actually assists you. Mm-hmm. And then I think eventually that eventually you're starting to look for something that'll create it for you versus just assist you. And I think when you kind of fall in the trap of that, you spend hours trying to find the perfect thing. And then before you know it, you're days down the road and you haven't started on anything. Mm-hmm. So just don't fall in that trap. Just listen to, try a couple things, but nothing beats, you know, good old fashioned, like, just start. Keep it simple. Just do it and just start.
And you're right. AI is moving so fast that we can't keep up with all the new tools and platforms without making it a full-time job. So,
you know, they invented, what's that full-time job now? Prompt engineering? Prompt engineer? Like, that's an actual job. Just watch AI replace that in about a year's time.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yeah.
But apparently people are paying top dollars for prompt engineer, like obscene amount of money for prompt engineers.
I know. It's insane. I can't imagine it's going to be a long-lived career. Like, okay. So what I thought I would do is list links in our show notes of websites.
Excellent.
That are updating daily AI news and new technology that you should know. So pick the ones out of the list that you like most. Mm-hmm. There's 2 Minute Papers. There's All News, AI News Official. There's AI Entrepreneur, you know, there's a few different ones that we'll be having listed so that you can kind of decide what it is that you want, what maybe something that you want to be able to do has not yet been invented or perfected. So that way you can even like, you know, keep up with it.
I think it's also helpful too, if you go like find people who are maybe in the industry you are.
Yeah.
And a lot of times there are like YouTubers, influencers, podcasters like us who would actually just reveal what is it that we're actually using on a daily basis and how we use it.
Yeah.
Because I find that so much more useful than it is listening to just like a general like description of what an application does.
Yes.
Right. I want to see a use case and I want somebody who's like in my line of work using it every day. So then I can see what the hands-on application is.
No, which is why we do what we do. We try to give you that kind of experience and hopefully you'll tell all your business friends about it. Anyway, so please join us for our next episode where we will discuss when and why your company needs HR and in what capacity. So we'll be talking about, do you contract somebody? Do you hire in somebody?
And when do you need HR?
When do you need it? What those baselines are, or what those stages are in which you're going to need
it. And the different roles in HR.
Yeah.
I knew that there were so many, of course I did.
But not everybody knows that. Exactly. So that's what we're gonna talk about.
Yeah.
Please show us your support by following us on your preferred podcast platform, social media, and YouTube. We'd love for you to also share our episodes. All of our links are posted below. Until next time, mind the business behind your small business because all great successes start small. Thank you.